Excuse me.
Well, welcome to the Repos Non-League Show, and we're here for the next hour. And really pleased to say we've got our old friends on the show again tonight, and it's fantastic to have, of course, the wonderful co-chairman of Maidstone, Mr. Oliver. And it's Oliver, it's fantastic to have you back.
You're very kind, David. It's great to be back and great to see you again.
And of course, as well, the man that gives those passionate speeches to his fans and then follows it through at the end as well. The wonderful George, as well, of course, manager at Maidstone. Welcome, George.
Thank you very much for having me, David. Thank you.
No worries. And a man returning to us, and it's fantastic to see him back in the game, of course, as well. Of course, he's Matt, of course, manager at Redditch. Nice to have you on again, Matt.
Yes, guys, lovely to be on.
So if we can sort of start, I know Maidstone have got to leave us at about 7:30, so we'll have a chat with them first. And I suppose first questions first, and not a football question. What's the weather like in France then, Oliver?
It's pretty dreadful, David, actually. It's been awful all day. I've been sort of rather frustrated, wanting to get out, but it's terrible winter weather. Makes you want to go and live somewhere a bit warmer, like Portugal or Barbados or even Cameroon.
I
Of
think
course.
Cameroon is the best one, the best option at the moment.
But what about you, George? Down there in Macy's, can't be much worse than what it is here, is it? Soaking wet.
Oh, it was really soggy out there this morning. Extremely cold. But it's that time of the year, and we have to just make sure we do our prep right and no excuses. But
And
yeah, good.
it's always sunny in Redditch, isn't it, Matt?
Always sunny. The sun was shining today. Just beautiful.
But I suppose, of course, me and Oliver go back quite some way. It was a discussion with 3G pitches and etc. etc. When I was with Harlow as well. But I mean, Maidstone itself, then it's been a fantastic couple of years. A great FA Cup run and going great guns this year in the Vanarama South.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's been a great 15 years, to be honest, since we built the stadium back when we saw a bit more of each other when we were campaigning for 3G. And there's been ups and downs, but most of the way it's been ups. And the last couple of seasons, no differently really. We had obviously a fantastic season last season. We're delighted we've got someone as competent and as positive as George leading the players, and we've got now a good operation, a good staff all through the club, and the club is really doing well. I'd say the only issue is just the pressure that builds up year on year from supporters and from everybody around who seem to expect more and more and better results every year. It's something to do with society as a whole, I think. There's an unreasonable expectation that every club and every supporter in every club wants their club to do nothing but win, and that just doesn't work. So that's probably the biggest pressure we've got, really, is just trying to deal with what is often unrealistic expectations of our supporters, because the underlying truth is that the club is in a great place, the team is doing really well, George and his team are working fantastically well, and it's being a great season.
I mean, George, it's been this management game at Mason's quite easy, isn't it?
No, not at all. No, it's really good, refreshing to hear Oliver speak. No, we're having a fantastic season, and it's important that we look at not just the season, but obviously the 15 plus years that Oliver has been part of Maidstone United Football Club. It's been fantastic, but the club just keeps growing in terms of sustainability, in terms of competing at all levels, being in the FA Cup, FA Trophy, Ken Senior Cup, and now the Vanarama National League South. We just try to ensure that we stay competitive, but more importantly, we understand what our limits are at the football club. As a manager, I do understand, and it's my job to ensure that we all manage the budget that's been given, so the club can stay sustainable and not run too far ahead of ourselves.
I mean, this season, though, I mean, you've got, as we know, you've got Abley tomorrow night. Just come off a loss, though, to Slough at the weekend. So, I mean, is it trying to get back on the bike, as they say, against Abley? Of course, they lost to Enfield Town as well at the weekend as well. So, It's going to be a tough game because they're fighting for their lives down in the other end of the table this year, where last year, of course, they were up there with you guys, fighting it out in the playoffs.
Yeah, definitely. Like you touched on it, David, it's important that we look at the magnitude of the game, the context of the game. We can't change the result that happened over the weekend on Saturday. Gone, that's gone. We've done a bit of video analysis today, but more importantly, just reminded ourselves about our responsibilities on the pitch, about being effective. But more importantly, is the desire to want to react positively from a defeat. And our group of players have been superb. And the management team has been superb in terms of doing that. We always try to find a way to try and bounce back straight after a defeat. So again, today it was business as usual in terms of our preparations, showing every respect to Evely. We know they're going to be fighting for their lives. They are fighting for their lives. Completely different context of where they were last season and where they are this season. And we respect that. And they're coming off the back of a defeat as well from Saturday, playing against Enfield. So we know they're going to come to the Gallagher, and we know the Gallagher race is everyone's game. So my job as a manager and the management team's job is to ensure that we remind the players of, teams coming to the Gallagher and try to, raise their game by 15, 10, 15%, which means we have to match that and surpass it with our efforts. And if we do that at the end of the game, hopefully we show a bit of quality like we did against Torquay in front of a packed Gallagher Stadium where we had 3,000 plus. And that's exciting for, not just for our supporters, but more so for the players that their way team that comes in at the Gallagher. So they enjoy the environment as much as, as much as our players.
I mean, and of course, after that game, would you've then got to Emil Hempstead? And of course, they've got a new manager, of course, a good friend of mine, in Lee Allison, as well, from coming over from Hendon. And he's doing he's doing a fantastic job with them. I mean, just looking at it, just while you were talking, I think they're sitting second in the form guide, just tucked in behind the back of Worthing. So they're in good form as well.
I love to speak. Yes, he's doing a fantastic job there since he's coming from Hendon. And he's a good guy as well, and I wish him all the very best with Hemu. But we treat it one game at a time, David. We don't look too far ahead. We take it at our main focus is against Everly tomorrow night, and then once that game is finished, the management team gets to work against looking at the Hemu game, which we know it's always a tough encounter. We know that, but when we get to that bridge, we're going to cross it. Our sole focus is on Everly tomorrow night.
But you've got, and we've got some big going on. Back on.
Yeah, I'll just come in on that because George and I don't speak every day, but I speak quite often to Terry, the co-owner, and we were just discussing this earlier on about the performance against Slough, and neither of us were at the game, but we saw the highlights, and obviously we speak to other people and listen to George's post-match interview. I think that George was right in saying that the players' levels and levels of playing as well as stamina dropped maybe 10% for the Slough game. And one of the challenges I think George has got is that because of the way that he's got the team playing, it's a high energy game. It's based on the players working really hard every game. And therefore, one of the challenges, probably the key challenge, is to keep that work rate so high every game. Because as soon as it drops, so it's not a question of talent dropping, it's just that the talent of his squad comes out when they're at 110%. And when it's at 90%, you're dead. So that's the real challenge for me is how to keep motivating that extra effort. And I say that because, funnily enough, in the rugby team I'm involved in, we've got exactly the same issues where a rugby team, even more than a football team, if they drop their level a little bit, they get smashed. And so for me, with the high sort of high press, high energy game, that's a real challenge, is to keep that effort up. For example, to the away game at Hemel, following the away game at Slough, neither of the places are particularly nice places to go and play football. They've got to raise their game, and George's real challenge is to raise that energy so that they are, motivated to run like crazy for 90 minutes, not drop off.
Just adding to what Oliver has just said there, and obviously our co-owner Terry Casey, it's important that our players maintain this, and the reason for the high intensity, high press, all action performance levels that I challenge our group of players to produce week in, week out is because anything that plays against Maidstone United, especially, I know we'll probably touch on it, what we did last season, and notably the FA Cup run that we had, every team, we become a target. We become a target by for every team and every club, and their fans want they want to beat Maidstone United Football Club. So if we're not at 110%, we come under, we come under the pressure of either drawing the game or losing the game altogether. We cannot drop our levels by 5%. We can't. And it's difficult, for the players to get that, to get the performance levels effectively week in, week out. And and I understand, and to be honest, the players have been terrific. I think, this is the third time we've tasted defeat in as many, many months. And for the consistency level that the players are showing, you have to respect them for it. But we know there's 15 games to go now, 45 points to play for. And it's an exciting time. So we will have to play like I've stressed to the players. There will be tired bodies. There will be playing some playing with knocks, because we've not we are like Oliver touched on, we are not blessed of having an expansive squad of players that we choose from. Hence, players, some players will have to play a little bit more than certain players, and the squad will be rotated when I feel or we I think with the management team we need to rotate players to give them a bit of a psychological and a mental break, because it's important that we do so. But we know what's at stake, and that's why we demand, and the training sessions are quite difficult for the players. But also the players love the challenge because it helps them improve, it helps them develop, and it helps them understand the principles that we've embedded into the club, and that matches the club's culture and the club's value. And they know they're playing, when they're playing, they're not just playing for themselves. They're playing for the Maidstone community, because we are well supported around the country. And as a manager, the pressure is, can I try to get the group to get 3 points for the supporters that travel away from home and the ones that come to support us at home and those listening from afar, via the subscription links.
Well, you just talked about the FA Cup and about last year. The FA Cup draw has just been made. It just pinged up on my phone. So I thought, if you guys don't know what it is and you haven't seen it on your phone or TV that might be close to you, this is the fifth round draw. And there's one interesting one in there. It's Preston versus Burnley. It's Aston Villa versus Cardiff. It's Doncaster or Crystal Palace versus Millwall. Manchester United versus Fulham. Newcastle versus Brighton. Bournemouth versus Wolves. Exeter or Nottingham Forest versus Ipswich, and the reward for Plymouth beating Liverpool is a nice trip to play Manchester City. It certainly don't get
That's
any easier for them, does it?
lovely. I'm sure there will be an upset on the card there. Manchester City has been struggling a little bit, right? So come on, Plymouth. All about the underdog story here for us.
It'd be interesting, 'cause it, as well. What do you think, Matt? I mean, interesting draw.
Yeah, it is. There's a Northwest Derby up there, Preston. Did you say Preston Burnley?
Burnley, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. But a great draw for Plymouth to go to Man City, and I'm sure the players there will be all excited about pitting the wits against a Man City team.
It should have been late in Orient. They were superb.
Absolutely agree.
They're outstanding, but there we go. I mean, as an ex-player as well, George and Matt, you've played the game yourself as well. How would you feel if you scored a goal like that in the FA Cup, like the Orient player scored? And then the bloke turn, they turn around and say, "No, sorry, it's an own goal."
First mixed reaction, but to even try that, the chip from where he was, the audacity to try that just shows how confident the Orient players came into the game. They had a game plan, they stuck to it, they were well drilled. And at that moment, football is about instinct, it's about picking your moment and try things that could come off, and what a day to try it, and against the world, one of the best teams in the world. So to see that come off, and then hit the keeper and went in, and the celebrations, and then finding out that the goal is being given to the keeper as an own goal, I just thought that that's a little bit harsh, because if anything, the chip was on target, so the least they can do is give him the goal, So yeah, but very, very great execution and a fantastic game by Leighton Orient.
I think the funniest thing about it all, though, as well, was for me in that game was over the season so far, the Leighton Orient goalkeeper, he's of course on loan from Spurs. Spurs' goalkeepers have been absolutely horrific this season. He saved two penalties in the cup, and he scored the equaliser to get, and he had another great game there. And you think, where are these people not trying to call him back? I mean, if you had a player, Matt, like that, would you be trying to call him back if your keeper was having a mare and you could see your one you sent out on loan having a cracker?
Well, you see, obviously they're in the spotlight at the minute, all the Tottenham players, and especially the new keeper, from the Czech Republic. And you see what the boy's doing at Leighton Orient, and like I say, he scored, I think it was in the second round, wasn't it? He scored the goal late. He even went up the last set for the last free kick on Saturday. So you've got to ask the question, why they've not probably brought him back. And yeah, definitely.
Well, as an Orient fan as well as an Arsenal fan, I hope they keep him there for as long as possible so that they'd maybe get in the championship. That'd be lovely. But there we go. So, George, you were talking earlier on, of course, and Oliver as well, last year with the FA Cup. I mean, talk us through that. What was that actually like? Because we were watching it on the TV from afar, and we got the atmosphere and the passion and everything else from it. It seemed like it was an absolutely sort of unbelievable run.
It was a terrific, terrific run for us. And the journey started when we played in the preliminary rounds, and we took every game and treated it as an individual game. But more importantly, we treated it with respect with the oppositions that we was coming up against, and we wanted to progress as far as we could. But we knew, we weren't going to win the FA Cup. And when we got ourselves into the first round against Chesham, away, we knew it was going to be a tough test for us, a test that the players, we prepared them physically and tactically. They were well equipped, and we went there and got the result. And we was rewarded with a home tie against Barrow at the Gallagher Stadium. And when that draw came out, I said to one of my best friends, and I've still got the text message to show it, on WhatsApp, I said, "We're gonna beat Barrow at the Gallagher Stadium." I said, "We're gonna beat them." And the players just worked exceptionally hard and took on board everything we said. But more importantly, we had the entire backing of, I think, the whole of Maidstone community was backing us. And then Bhavesh Gourang stepping up and scoring what was, an absolute world-class goal to send us through into the third round. And then we was re rewarded again by a tie against Stevenage, who at the time I think was sitting in League One and doing extremely well. So that was to test us physically, but test us also tactically, the management team, myself, and test us as a football club. And it tells that we all galvanized together as a community, and the players, stepped up, and they were fearless in their efforts. We like to say they showed no respect to the opposition by the way, we pressed, like Oliver touched on. It was high energy, high intensity. But at one point we knew, they're much higher opposition than us. We was going to come under pressure, but by staying, calm in those moments. And luck had to play a part as well, which it did. And then we got that game out of the way, and it was celebration time. And we was rewarded with the big tie against, obviously everyone wanted a Premier League club, so we could go away to Man City. My preference was Wolverhampton Wanderers, the Mighty Wolves. I didn't get that, but we was rewarded with a fantastic tie against Ipswich Town. And when that draw came out, the players were really, really happy. Everyone was happy. But in terms of the media coverage, in terms of, I call them the real heroes behind the scenes. When Oliver spoke about staff, I'm talking about the backroom staff that handled the ticket sales. It was relentless in terms of the efforts, and the queues were limitless in terms of never stopping, in terms of the demand for tickets. And for us to be able to sell out RN, I think 4,500 fans. But it's not just that, the preparations that went into it. I'm thankful to Oliver and Terry Casey. They managed to find a bit of money for us to stay over the night before, to give the players a bit of a team bonding time for them to relax, for us to stay nice and calm in our preparations, because I think the kickoff was at 1 p.m. So that gave us a real feel, and the players just loved every bit about that journey. And just like to come out, come to training and not even have somewhere to park, because the communities come out to queue to buy tickets. It was just amazing to see. And the media coverage,
We
promoting
have
the club, promoting Maidstone United Football Club around the world. And then it was all important that we went away at Ipswich at Pullman Road, and showcase ourselves and test ourselves against, at the time, an established championship side, and now they're Premier League side by every right. And we had to earn our luck. We had to soak up the pressure for, you can call it, 95 plus minutes. But the players believed, and we knew we had moments. And it was just good to come out and see our entire community out, 4,500 fans right on the other side, opposite of the technical area, just to see the sheer, amber and black and amber army that was there, the Maidstone community, everyone just having the time of their lives. Every age group was there to experience this, and I'm sure there was hundreds more, thousands more watching on TV. And for the players to go out and produce a performance like that, having two chances and taking both two chances with world-class finishes, and Mr. Consistency Sam Curran leading the charge with that. And at the final whistle, there was so much celebrations to be done. There was tears, there was laughter, there was hugs, water being drunk, a little bit of champagne, because we had to get back to the league on Tuesday. But it was a historic moment for us. We knew then, as a club, and I'm sure Oliver can testify to it. It was just a moment where it will live with us for the rest of our lives. And also delighted to be a part of it and be the manager that led the charge, and took the club to that fifth round of the FA Cup.
These moments are unforgettable for the supporters. They're exceptional. And you've got the grind of the league every season. You have good seasons, you have bad seasons, and it's a grind. Whereas the FA Cup is just that icing on the cake at our level. And to have the season, the run we did for the whole town, really, which, I think I'm told so often that the football club is the best thing in the town by so many people that you realize how important it is. And to be able to go twice to Ipswich and then to Coventry with 5,000 supporters who seemed to enjoy the Coventry match as much as the Ipswich match, in a way, it was a celebration of an exceptional season. So for the whole town and all our supporters, we're just delighted. And credit to, to George and the players. As George said, we needed a huge amount of luck against Ipswich, but he also needed, you make your own luck. You have to prepare properly, and you have to have the right attitude, and then you make your own luck. So, it's we all say tongue in cheek, they had 38 chances and they only converted them. And every time I watch the match back, I still think we're going to lose. I can't believe it. But we seem to we
What's the
seem
furthest you've ever
to
dropped, Matt, in the FA Cup?
Sorry?
I'm just asking, Matt. He's turned his. There you go.
I got you.
Yeah,
I've
good,
got
mate.
you.
What's the purpose you've got?
As a player with Hereford, we got to the fourth round. We played Leicester, who were in the Premier League at the time, and we drew at Edgar Street 0-0, and then we went 1-0 up. They did the draw on the Sunday, and the winners played Arsenal in the fifth round, and we went 1-0 up in the first half, and Steve Walsh equalised in I think the 87th minute. We went to extra time and we lost 2-1 in extra time. I think Muzzy scored the winner. So, and I did the same with Telford. I got to the fourth round the year Millwall got to the final. I was with Telford and we beat Brentford in the third round and we lost to Millwall 1-0 at Telford in the fourth round. So yeah, fourth round twice I got to as a player. As a manager, I've been very unlucky. Can't get to that magical first round, so I'm still trying.
You'll get there, mate, I'm sure, next season.
Positive,
There's
yeah.
another
Positive
chance.
thoughts, yeah.
Yep. But, I mean, with the league this season, I mean, you know, we're looking at this season with it, and as you say, it is really tough. I think up to Saturday, there was about six, seven teams all on 55 points. I mean, is it going to be a tough slog, isn't it, to try and sort of, sort of get out of that division again? Because, as you say, there's a lot of big sides in the likes of Bournemouth and Torquay, and you know, they're all in there, sort of hanging around that sort of top area, and Worthing as well. So they're all sort of around there. Like Oliver touched on, we know what we're competing against in terms of budget, size, and all that. As we see, with some of the players that were in our environment, and the money teams who come after those players, and there's nothing you can do about it. You have to stay realistic to your budget. You have to stay realistic to the structure that we've got in-house, and concentrate on the players that you have, and believe in our structure, and believe in what we set out in pre-season, in the off-season, in terms of empowering the players, the staff, and making sure we stay as one with our supporters. We know our supporters are always going to be there with us in terms of how they back the team. So it's about making sure every detail goes into our preparation leading to every single match we play, in terms of analyzing the opposition and knowing what their strengths, weaknesses, limitations, restarts, routines in terms of corner kicks, long throw specialists, free kicks, where do they actually take this from, their key players. So we look into every single details going into a game and ensure that our players see these details. We analyze visually, but also we go out practically and we work on our strategy against these teams. But more importantly, we do send out PDF versions on copies to the players of the analysis, to ensure that players do read through and know exactly who they're going to be coming up against. So if we lose a game, it's not the end of the world. It might be because of one or two small details, and that's the excitement. But in terms of approaching the game, we know it's, I said it in the summer. I did say it was going to be the toughest National League South it's been for a while. It's going to be competitive. Anyone can beat anyone on their day. There haven't been any clear runner at the top yet. So that's the excitement. However, you can't look too far out at what other clubs are doing. I have to concentrate on Maidstone United and what we are doing. The games we got coming up, as we have tomorrow against Everly. It's my job to ensure, and the management team's job to prepare the players physically, psychologically, tactically, to ensure that when we go out tomorrow, they try to bring in the best qualities, and they try to bring the ability, the desire, the energy, the commitment, and also the quality at the end of the day, to ensure that we try and get 3 points in the 90, 90, 95 plus minutes. But it's important that we understand we are in an exciting position, but there's 15 games to go, and there's all to play for. We don't want to lose too much ground on the top, but also we don't want to fall into the mid-table as well. We want to ensure that we stay consistent by ensuring that we put as many 3 points on the table, and then see where that takes us at the end of the season.
Well, listen, guys, I know you've it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and I know you've got to run, so we'll let you go. But one thing I would like to say, and I hopefully you guys would back me with this, saying sending all the love and best wishes to Peter Brown, the chairman of Chesham United, who's been not very well of late, and just he's just come out of hospital. So we send all the best wishes to the chairman of Chesham, of course a friend of the show as well. So we wish him all the best in his recovery.
Yep, absolutely, David. And all the best to you and to
No,
Matt.
thank you.
We'll speak again soon, I hope. And I'll speak to
Absolutely.
you, George, very soon during the week.
No worries, Oliver.
Thank you,
Thank you.
George. Really appreciate your
Thank
time.
you, David. Thank you,
No
David,
worries.
for having me. Matt, I wish you all the very best.
Wish you all
Lovely
the
to
best,
meet you.
George. All the best to you and your
Thank
team.
you very much. All right, have a
Cheers,
lovely
guys.
evening.
Get
Bye
those
for
3 points tomorrow
night. We're
night.
gonna try.
So, Matt, I mean, how does it feel to be back at Redditch?
Yeah, no, it's very good. Obviously, it's been a crazy, crazy 12 months, really, from February to now. But just great to be back, where I feel really comfortable and where I'm happy.
I mean, we were talking about the sort of like the Southern Vanarama South, but your division as well is ridiculous as well, isn't it? I mean, like who would have said at the beginning of this season that Bedford Town will be sitting top of the table for a start? Do you know what I mean? Kettering have sort of hit the rafters a little tiny bit, and but it's very close at the top of that table.
It is. I mean, you look at the form that the big boys there really in your Telford, your Kettering, your Aylesowen, those three really, they keep slipping up, and I think their run, the three of them, their form is quite poor really for teams that you'd expect to be running away with it, if you like. And nobody seems to want to win the league, and Bedford have come through now, and but 2 weeks ago they lose 6-2 away from home at Telford. So it's just a really, really, what I've said is it's a consistently inconsistent season for so many teams.
I mean, I don't know it's not your side, but if you was the Lowestoft manager, I think you'd be absolutely pulling your hair out, wouldn't you? I don't know if you saw their goals. I think one was about 80 odd minutes Harbour, and the other one was about 104 minutes. It was the winner on the weekend.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Again, I think it just sums the league up this year. It's just really is crazy. Very difficult to predict, who's going to win games, because you saw last Tuesday night, Telford were top, Biggleswade were bottom by a long way, and Biggleswade until the 88th minute, Biggleswade were winning away from home on a Tuesday night, and in the end they drew the game. And you just it's very difficult to predict. It's like I say, it's just so inconsistent this season.
And as you say, the inconsistency, I suppose, really was that is for me was the two teams in your league that got the first in the FA Cup in sort of Kettering and Harborough, because Kettering sort of started a little bit and they were sitting at the top. Harborough were in the relegation zone and they've gone on an absolute tear since they've been knocked out of the FA Cup and just sitting outside the playoffs. But I spoke to the Wellington City manager last night on our Manager's View programme last night, and he's 14 points away from the playoff zone. You're only he reckons he could still make it, so you're only 10 points outside. Can you make it?
No, I don't think so. I mean, look, in an ideal world, we'd need to put on a really good run, and we're the same. We just won three on the bounce, and then we went to Leiston last week, or Leiston last week, and in real good form. We really needed to win that to stay in the pack, and we're the better team for 15 minutes, first 15 minutes. We go through on goal. Their keeper comes out and balls it just as we're about to score. I would rather have had the goal. The referee sends the keeper off. They don't have a keeper on the bench, so they're down to 10 men. So you go from there, you think, right, we should go on to win the game, and we went completely backwards. We panicked a little bit, got really nervy, and we end up losing the game 1-0, which was just incredible. And again, that sums the league up. And I think if we'd have won Saturday, we'd have then gone into this game that's just gone on the back of four on the bounce, and we would have, closed the gap significantly. And I just think the gap's probably for where we are as a club and where we are as a squad. There's been so much change from a manager to personnel. I think that this season we're going to probably sit in and around where we are now. I think that would be really par for the course, with a view to then, really strengthen, get the right personnel, make sure the recruitment's right in the summer, and then have a go to try and replicate what we did last season.
You've got a couple of tough games coming up, then you're away to Telford and away to Sporting. They ain't gonna be too easy, right?
Very, 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 very difficult. But, at the same time, with the way the league is, then that should be an incentive for the players, knowing that, other teams are going to these places and getting results. Then, and with the inconsistency that we're seeing, then we could do the same.
Is that one of the games you look forward to, going to Telford?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, I played there and had a real good cup run. And I think that in our league, they are seen as the, they've got the biggest stadium, the best stadium. They are probably have the biggest budget. They're really the big boys. And I think that that should lift any, as it did for Biggleswade last week. We went there and got a pint Arbor the week before. I think Telford's own form has stuttered a little bit, and there's such an expectation when you're. When you're at a Telford, there's such an expectation to go on and win leagues, and that the fan base there, they demand success, and that can weigh heavily on the shoulders of some players that have never really experienced that. Maybe some of the younger players and some of the older players that that do feel that weight of pressure. And I think when you're a Redditch or a mid-table team, then you go there and you got to stay in the game for the first 15, 20 minutes, and then fans start to get frustrated, and that gives you a better chance of getting a result. But I think when the players turn up at a stadium like that, it gives them a lift naturally as well, and playing in front of bigger crowds, and hopefully goes in your favour. It doesn't always work like that. You could end up going there and get hammered, but it gives you a lift, and it should be, because they're the games that, I listened to the Maidstone chairman earlier saying about they went to like Emel, and it's not the prettiest. I've been to Emel as a manager and a player, and it isn't the prettiest. But when you go to Telford, it is pretty, and that should give you that little bit of a bounce in your step.
So, I mean, with yourself, and of course, you left, we won't go into any all that side of it. You left Redditch and then come back. What was the difference in the playing squad when you came back? Did you have most of the players that you had when you left, or was there a situation where you go back in and go, who are this lot? Almost, if you know what I'm trying to say, you've got to try and sort of almost start on rebuild again.
Yeah, no, it's look, I mean, the team that we accrued last season was a really, really good squad, and it took a long while. We didn't do that overnight. It took a long time in getting to that, because we, it's notorious, especially locally, that where we sit from a budget point of view. So you have to be very shrewd, you have to be very clever, you have to be very patient. We've always recruited players from, step four and step five. To be honest, we've always, because we've never been able to go head to head with an Alzo in town or a Kettering or a Telford. We just can't compete financially. So we have to be a little bit more prudent and take a gamble. As you've seen, we just sold a player 3 weeks ago, Johnny Johnson. Who was, 21. He was our striker. He was our go-to man, our leading scorer, and he's gone full-time, Division Higher in the Conference now, Conference North with Buxton. And we get players in and we polish them, and but we want to try and establish. We want to be in a position where we're not kind of a stepping stone for players. We really want to challenge, and because at the minute, what's happened is when I walk back into the building, I took over the job. Tim Flowers did a real wonderful job for the football club. From the summer up until November when I came in, they were sitting sixth in the table. But what Tim had experienced was what I've experienced many times, is that locally, I think Tim had lost maybe four or five. He'd lost three players to our rivals, Alzo in town, during the season. The 7 days would come in, and Telford had taken the captain, Jordan Cranston. Hereford took Jaden White. So it's very difficult to build and to have that consistency from a squad point of view. And I come in, and within a week, our leading scorer from last season, Alex Cameron, Alzo in, put 7 days in for him, and they took him. Stourbridge put 7 days in for the goalkeeper, and we lost him. So it's really difficult, and supporters are, naturally, they probably don't understand the things that go in the background, and The chairman works really hard at this football club, and me and him have always had a fantastic relationship. And there are so many positives that are going on in the background. So we can, rather than Al's Owen and Stourbridge and Hereford, rather than these clubs coming in and putting 7 days in for our players, we're doing it to them. But this season, unfortunately, we've not been able to do that. So there has been a lot of change, far more change than you'd want in any squad, and we're just kind of finding our way, and then we lose another one. So yeah, there's a lot of work to be done.
No, I mean, as a manager, that must be extremely frustrating when you sort of you feel like you've got a little side together, and all of a sudden someone comes in and says, "Come and play for me for." And I'm not saying that's the case, but I know, like, when I speak to the other two managers every day, I say, "Oh, they offer him an extra 20 quid, or they offer him an extra tenner, or they offer him this or whatever else." Is that frustrating? And then, as you know, when you say you lose your goalkeeper, and you've got a game coming up in a couple of days, I mean, is it a little bit like panic stations to try and go and see if you can find another keeper?
Yeah, it is, and like I say, we've lost our front two as well, in the last 6 weeks, and you have to replace them. And if you're sat in mid table at step three, and you lose your front two, you're looking around, and we can't really go to a step three team, and we're not going to offer more money than any of the players are on at step three. So you have to look lower down. You then look at, we brought in Ryan Booth, who, I had last season, and he's been at two step three clubs, and he's not been getting any game time, and we bring him in. So it's almost like a jumble sale. We've gone to the jumble sale, and we're scrapping around looking for bits and bobs that other people don't want, and that's what we've had to do. And I've always been a I've always been able to utilize the loan market. At the minute, we've got four loan players, and I know some supporters get frustrated at that, but I don't have the capabilities at the moment to go out and get an established step three player in, because they're not going to come, because we're not we, you know although we're only 10 points from the playoffs, we're probably not going to make that. I think we're 9 or 10 points from relegation, so we should have enough in the locker to steer clear of that. But if you're playing at step four and you're in a top four or a top five team, that you've got something to play for, you're not going to come, because we're not going to blow anybody out of the water with money, but we can offer a level. But at this stage, it's very hard to get that. So it is honestly, it's so frustrating that you dread it. I'm dreading the secretary messaging me, because I'm thinking, who's going to put 7 days in for any of my players? Now, we don't have any contracted players. The only contracted player we had was, like I say, was Johnny Johnson. And then, 3 weeks ago, we were on an absolutely horrendous run. We hadn't won in 10, and I get a phone call from my chairman to say that we've had a bid from Buxton. There was a clause in his contract, for the clause. There was a clause that it was cheaper for him to go higher, because we want players to progress. It was more expensive for a club at our level or lower to buy him. And on the Friday night, we'd had the bid, which it triggered his release clause. And that's on a Friday night at 10 o'clock. Me and the chairman are speaking, but it was testimony to the boy, because, again, as a 21-year-old, he was aware. We'd obviously made him aware of the bid. He did have an agent, as a lot of players do now, and he insisted that he played the game. And we were playing, like I say, we hadn't won in 10. We were playing Kettering, who were top of the league at the time. I'd resigned to the fact that he wouldn't be available. He insisted that he was going to be available, and he wanted to play. And of course, we pick him. We beat Kettering. He scores two, so it couldn't have been better for him. But again, it was about character, because a lot of players in that situation, knowing that on the Sunday they were going to sign for a team, even though it's only one division above, that he's going to go to a step two club and be full time, they would have ruled themselves out. But his mentality and his mindset was that he knew that we were on a bad run, and we needed results. And then on the back of that, obviously we end up winning three on the bounce. And to be fair to him, he's gone to Buxton, and I think he scored three in three. So it's brilliant.
And is that something that, without actually sort of winning, trophies and stuff, as a manager yourself, is that the next best thing, or is that better than winning trophies when you see, like, two players that you've got in your squad that you've helped out, and they move on to different areas and are bigger and better, not better, bigger and better things, but you know what I'm trying to say, they move up.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
Does
I
that give
do.
you pride as well when you see that happen?
Yeah, does. I mean, me and the chairman, we went up to Ross County last year. But the chairman did. I couldn't make it, but the chairman went up to Ross County last year because a player that we had who was fantastic for us, Max Sheaf, we sold him to Ross County in the Scottish Premiership, and it's great. So we do that with all of our players. The players that leave us that go on to better or higher level, or up the pyramid. We have that contact, and we feel really, we're proud that we've played a part in their, in their journey or their progression and their adventure, and that's brilliant. But would I swap that for winning league titles? Absolutely, of course I would. And I think what we're trying to do and establish at this football club is that we want to be in a position where, we're not feeder clubs to, we're not making other clubs better. Our local rivals, like I said earlier, our local rivals, Alzone, have taken three really good players, well, four very good players from the team that reached the playoffs last season. They've taken four, and it's like I use the I say it's like the manager knocks my door of a morning, and he lets himself in, and he goes into my fridge, and he just helps himself to whatever's in there, and he goes out, and he just. I have to, lock the door behind him because that's how it's been. But we want to be in a position where that doesn't happen, and we can do it to other clubs, because it is soul destroying, really, when you feel that you're getting somewhere, and then you get that phone call or you get that email that another one of your players is moving on, and we struggle to, we struggle to do that. But it didn't happen to us much the year before because we had a. Although from a financial point of view, we're still in the same pot, but we had a group of players where we had three or four of our main, the core of the team were on a contract, and they kind of ran the dressing room for us, and so there was a togetherness, and we had something to achieve in terms of the goal was to get the playoffs, and with the turnaround of manager, with Tim coming in and then going, and then me coming back in, you haven't had that consistency and that continuity. Whereas next season we want to win bid and implement that again. It just gives you a chance.
But when do you start planning for next season? Because I mean, I asked that question last night to the two lads last night, and the Wear manager Paul Howes, he said, "I'm started already."
Yeah,
Is it that the sort of case of
yeah.
just
It is.
trying to
It's
speak
about
things?
now. About now. I spoke to the chairman earlier, and we're already looking at that. We hopefully, and we're not safe yet. And like you've pointed out, we've got two or three really tough away games. We've got to try and get some points on the table, on the board, to make sure that we steer clear of that relegation zone. And then we have to think. We really do. We've got to try and be ahead of the game, and there'll be a lot of teams in our league that have got, aspirations of being in the playoffs and getting promotion that maybe we can, steal in. And there'll be teams that maybe get promotion out of our league, and some of those players just can't commit to the demands that a Conference North club would need and that level, the travelling midweek. So they're the type of players that we're gonna, try and be in the market for.
And also, as well as the possibility of the two Bedford sides, sort of amalgamating as well,
That's right, yeah.
and they're probably going to be in that league next year because, I think it's the lower one rather than the higher one. So there's that opportunity there, but that's not going to be easy either, is it? With that sort of money flying around, with them coming in there as well. But of course, then there could be players available. I know it's a bit of a distance between you and them, but there might
Yeah.
be a few players that might live up sort of near you as well that could open up doors for that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, there are plenty of teams. What happened was there's teams in our league, and it just blows the market from a wage structure out the window. And you've got Spalding and Arbroath that have come in, and we've never really experienced that kind of level, that the figures that they're paying. And what it does then, the inflation, it will inflate the market, and you've all of a sudden then you've got players that are, they're on a certain figure, and they believe, when it comes to an end there, and they're looking for other clubs, that's what their value is, and it's just not a true reflection. They're Again, that's an example where a club has a benefit, financial benefactors that really are having a right go. And I'm not knocking it, by the way, because look, I would love to be in a position where I had somebody that could come and pay that kind of figure and allow us to go into the market and pay those. So I'll never knock any club for doing it, but it just makes it so much more difficult for the other clubs because your average players want X amount now, and it's very hard to compete with that.
I mean, glad to be back though. But
Oh
glad to
yeah,
be
I
back in
love
this
it. Like
crazy world.
it's crazy. You do forget how much you, because I had a number of months away from it. You dedicate so much time then to your family and the missus and whatever, and all of a sudden you're out on a Tuesday, you're not getting back till 1 in the morning, and the weekends you lose. And I'll be honest, I really struggle with defeats, and you've got to try and stay positive, when you're in the house. And you never had that. I'm going shopping, and I'm going to the zoo on a weekend, and and all that's out the window now. So I try and box it off. Me and the chairman, we don't speak on a Sunday because that's our little thing that we have. It's family time. And but no, look, I think when you've been in it so long and it's been in your blood for, since from an early age, that when you're out of it, and to be fair, when I was out of it, I was, following everything on Twitter and the scores and really invested. And I went to a lot of games, and so you keep your knowledge base up there, and you keep those relationships with people, but you forget how much how unsettling it can be, and how tough those defeats are. And when you win, that the sense of relief is just incredible. So now I'm glad to be back. I could do with I would be happy with a few more points on the board, but can't have everything.
Have you managed to get all your backroom staff back together again, or was did Tim come
Yeah.
there?
No, my assistant manager came back with me, which was really important. And the goalkeeper coach was already here. We made a couple of changes as normal because, I didn't feel that there was a couple of people in the building that wouldn't really suit what we want to do moving forward. And so you make a couple of changes, but we've still got the same scout as well, who's fantastic. So now we've got, and the physio, who's outstanding. So we've got a real good team and a real good together group, and it bodes well for the future.
Well, listen, Matt, time's escaped us, but it's been fantastic speaking to you again. Great to have you back on the show, and fantastic to have you back in this crazy world of non-league football. And we hope Redditch do really, really well this year and manage to get themselves up that table. And who knows, into those playoff places.
You never know. You never know. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thanks for your time.
It's been an absolute pleasure. And a massive thank you for everybody for watching tonight as well. And a massive thank you for George and, of course, for Oliver as well from Maidstone. We'll be back next week. And until then, thank you for watching and good night.